Wake up in the morning, put my feet on the floor. I thank him for the day that he gave me one more. I give him all the praise, the one that I adore. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. I was lost and all alone, my heart in need of help. I found eternal life and lost my fear of death. Because I know the author of my every breath. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. God of glory, majesty, the Holy One, who died for me, and who's the one that I long to see. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to the day, man, when I can see my Savior face to face. Aren't you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, tonight. If you're a soul that's lost and in need of direction, you wonder when you die if you'll go to heaven. Well, friend, I found the answer to that very question. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. God of glory, majesty, the Holy One, who died for me, and who's the one that I long to see. That's Jesus. Oh, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. No other name, amen, whereby men can be saved but Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Tonight, from over in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Make sure these other mics are off up here, Brother Ed. A little bit of ring. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse number 1. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now, he's not talking about just in mere name Jesus, but in belief. Verse 4, it says, "Now there are different, or there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit to the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh I don't think she has verse number 11, but I'll just go ahead and read it since I started. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would instruct us and teach us something tonight, Lord, that we don't already know. Lord, in this room, Lord, there's a lot of wisdom and understanding of your word in each one's hearts and lives and minds, God. But Father, I ask, Lord, that you teach every one of us in here something. And Father, we just give you the glory for it already right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're talking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost tonight. Now, not last Wednesday night, but the Wednesday night before that, we spoke on the fruit of the Spirit. Y'all remember? The fruit of the Spirit is the conduct or the personality of the Holy Ghost. Amen? When a person says that they have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit should be their life, because this is the personality or the conduct of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's who he is. It's who the Holy Ghost is. And when he comes into us, that's who he makes us. And we're to take on and have the fruit of the Spirit. Tonight, we want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. In other words, not who he is, but what he is. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Ghost is what the Holy Ghost is. It is the manifestation of the works of the Holy Ghost, the functions of the Holy Ghost. Being, you know, the gifts manifest or reveal who the Holy Ghost is in our lives. And when we get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is what we call it around the church, the endowment of power for service, all these gifts come with that. Every one of them, okay? So if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, these gifts should be working in your life. And if they're not, it's not the Holy Ghost's fault. We're the operator of those gifts, okay? Through the Holy Ghost, all right? Now let's go back to verse number 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, he's saying here to the Corinthian church, because he understands the church people a lot of times in the Corinth area, there was real worldly people. It was a big area of commerce and around this town. And so it was a lot of worldliness. And there was a lot of ignorance when it came to spiritual things. And we see that in the church world today. There's a lot of ignorance in the church world when it comes to spiritual things, right? I mean, this Bible is spiritual. And you have to be spiritual to understand it. You can't understand it fleshly. That's when Nicodemus came to Jesus, you know, and he couldn't understand, because he was thinking fleshly about, you know, being born again, going back to his mother's womb, and Jesus talking spiritually. And that's the problem a lot of times when you're speaking, especially in the Pentecostal church, you're speaking spiritually, and a lot of times people are trying to hear you physically, and there it just doesn't line up. And that was the problem there in the third chapter of John with Nicodemus. So we see here that Paul is saying that he would not have us to be ignorant when it comes to spiritual things. Ignorant means not to know through the lack of information or intelligence. That's what ignorance is. It's because a lot of times people are ignorant because they have a lack of information. And that happens in a lot of churches a lot of times. They don't have a lot of information. They're going by what little bit of information they get from the pulpit. And they're living by that. And that's as far as they ever go. Their salvation never goes any further than what that preacher is preaching them. Amen? So they're ignorant to a lot of things. Being ignorant means to ignore sometimes. In other words, we should not ignore these spiritual gifts. And a lot of church people ignore these spiritual gifts. A lot of preachers ignore these spiritual gifts. They're ignorant to them because they ignore them. They say that they're not for today. And so they ignore those things. I went back there a while ago and I dug up this book right here. It's a Sunday school book. It's a Sunday school book. Y'all seen some like this, kind of like this in our church, but this is from a different denomination. One time we was getting our literature from Life Springs, who is the Pentecostal Holiness Churches. And it's the same scriptures as what we get in Pathway. But they went from King James over to some other books, you know, the NIV or something like that. Well, when they started doing that, I fussed about it, and they went back for a while to King James. And I don't know, it wasn't just for me, little old me calling, but I fussed enough about it. But anyhow, they went, said, we're going to it. They sent out a letter, we're going to go to NIV. They joined these World Council of Churches or something of that junk, and said that they was going to do it. So we switched back to Pathway, which is Church of God, because they still offer King James. Well, meanwhile, I went on in line, and a lot of churches that just King James, so that's where I got this book from. Because it's King James, but I was looking in the front of it. It says, you know, probably a lot of people don't even read their own Declaration of Faith. I'll tell you who it's from. Baptist Sunday School Committee, Texarkana, Texas. So I don't know what organization that's, Southern Baptist. I don't know. It's a lot of different kind of Baptists. I don't know. But listen, it's in right in front of their book, Declaration of Faith. We believe that miraculous spiritual manifestation gifts were done away when the Bible was completed. Faith, hope, and love are the vital abiding spiritual gifts. It's right there in their book, right there. Over here in the back part, it goes on and it says, we believe that all who trust Jesus for salvation are eternally secure in Him and shall not perish. It's right there. Black and white. So they're ignorant to spiritual gifts. Ignore or ignorant means they need to have, there's a need to exercise the mind or to think or to consider. When someone is ignorant to something, they need to open their mind and consider, could I be wrong? Amen. So Paul is telling them here, I would not have you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. He says over in 1 Corinthians in the 14th chapter in verse number 38, he says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I'm not going to argue with him. I mean, if I see someone, then and maybe I hope there's no one in here tonight, you know, but if I'm, you know, out on the street and I'm talking to someone and they say, well, I'd never come to your church because, you know, y'all believe in the gifts of the Holy Ghost being operation. I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, I don't believe that. I said, well, I do. And that's as far as the conversation needs to go. I know how you believe and I know how I believe. It should just end right there. I'm not going to stand and argue with you. Like my cousin said one time, he always tries to make it a point never to argue with an idiot because someone may come along and can't tell which one is the idiot. So it says, Paul is saying the same thing. He said, if someone's going to be ignorant, just let them be ignorant. He says, verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let me tell you from the get-go, the Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman. And everything that the Holy Ghost is in, it's going to be perfect. When you pray for a lady and she is slain in the spirit, when she goes down, her dress ain't going to be over her head. It's going to be ladylike. It's going to be down there. Amen? When you see him jumping around and knocking holes in the wall, that is not the Holy Ghost. He's a perfect gentleman. Amen. Amen. Don't want you to be ignorant. Acts 10:38 says, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the what? Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, he's talking about this same Holy Ghost, and Jesus came down to this earth, just like me and you, Luke 1 and 52, it says that he grew in wisdom and stature with God and man, just like me and you. Amen? Didn't we grow in stature and in wisdom with man? Didn't we grow in stature and wisdom with God? Just like Jesus. And he, with the same 9 gifts that we're going to talk about tonight, Jesus used those very same 9 gifts to do everything he did. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, same Holy Ghost that we have tonight. Holy Ghost had power who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because he used these 9 gifts. Same thing. He's the way, right? He's the way. Made a way for us. He's the way. Showed us how. So we can't be like Isaiah the 64th chapter. A lot of church people are living in Isaiah 64 and 1. He says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, but thou camest down and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath I seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Amen. And there's so many churches still ignorant to spiritual things and spiritual gifts. They're still living with that right today. Churches are still as ignorant today as they was there. Then he said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, he said, for as it is written, he's talking about there in Isaiah 64, as it is written that I just read you, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither did enter to the heart of man the things that God had prepared for them that love him. And you hear church people quote that and quote that and quote that, and God works in mysterious ways like he's voodoo. Come on now. And they never read verse 10. It says, but God hath revealed them to us. How? By his Spirit. Yea, the deep things of God. Right? The Spirit searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. So we need this Holy Ghost. We need these gifts working in our individual lives. In our church services, we need the Holy Ghost. How many agrees with that? We've had far too many services without the anointing of the Holy Ghost working in our midst. Now, amen? I'm talking about these gifts, not that we can run and feel good and shout, and I love all that, but I'm talking about the gifts that will take and convict a sinner, amen, that people get saved and healed and delivered, amen? People come in with demonic spirits and get delivered. That's what I'm talking about. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 2, it says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. I mean, you can just listen to some preachers talk and you know they're not Spirit-filled. Because, boy, they throw it off on God. They say, God puts all kind of things on you and to try you. Wait a minute now. Come on. Jesus paid a price that we could be free. That we could walk in that straight and narrow. That He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Not God. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what he's telling us. He says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Same way. That's why so many people are not letting Jesus be Lord of their life, because they don't have the Holy Ghost baptism. Come on now. Verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's diversities or differences in gifts, but it's the same Holy Ghost in all. In other words, we can't pick and choose. Like some churches, they say, well, you know, I must believe in a miracle, because I'm telling you, the greatest miracle is when a person gets saved. I don't know about you, but that's the greatest miracle I've ever seen. That's a miracle to me. The day I got saved is a miracle, my friends. That's the greatest miracle I've ever seen, is a man getting saved. And yet they don't believe in the other gifts. We can't pick and choose. It's all together. The working of miracles comes with the speaking in tongues. And oh boy, you say that a lot of churches. It's taboo. But it's all together. He said, there's differences in gifts. We can't pick and choose. It's the same Holy Ghost in all. I mean, it's Him. Amen? I mean, but you hear it the way some people, they believe bits and pieces, and the Holy Ghost kind of looks like this. I mean, this is about the way the church is operating, isn't it? Spiritually. Because they've taken that gift away and taken this gift away. He's talking about here in this chapter reading about the body. The body, all these gifts. I mean, this body is put together for a reason. If you take one part of that way God has designed it, it becomes handicapped. And the church without all the gifts of the Holy Ghost working with freedom and liberty in it is handicapped. Spiritually handicapped. So it says, goes on, it says, verse 5, and there's differences of administration. Amen. Different offices, but it's the same Spirit, the same Lord. It says, and there, verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but the same God that worketh all in all. There's different times of use and different purposes and different works for all these gifts. There's a time and a place for all these gifts, these nine gifts. Amen? I mean, if a person, you know, is needing to be healed, you know, speaking in tongues won't heal them. I need the gift of healing working on them, right? And when it comes to, you know, if you have someone, you're trying to figure out if they're really of God or not, you know, prophecy won't do no good. I need discerning of spirits. It's the same way as some of these guys working in here that works with tools, you know, and, you know, you can't use a hammer to cut a board. And so we see church people are so confused about the gifts of the Holy Ghost that they're trying to use a hammer to cut a board. And what kind of carpenter would that be? Be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Yet we'd let it go in the church and say, well, that's okay. It's just all part of the Holy Ghost. No. Use it in the right way. God's not the author of confusion, right? All right, let's get into them here. Verse number 7. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Let me tell you. The Holy Ghost has come not just to edify you, but it's to edify the whole church. It's not come in just to make you feel good and get you on a high. It's to edify the whole church. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's not all about me. It's all about the work, the church. The church is about the church, the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. And while that is going on, we get the good, you know, feeling and feeling good. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. When a move of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, the best feeling I've ever seen is when, you know, one of the gifts is used and somebody comes to the altar. The morning my son got saved, there was a gift used. There was a message given out in tongues and the interpretation. He got up because the interpretation was exactly what God had been telling him all week long. And that's what he heard. And he came to the altar and got saved. Amen. So it says, verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, in these gifts, there are three natural divisions. There's the gift of revelation, mind gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. There's three inspiration gifts or vocal gifts. They're prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then there's three power gifts, working gifts, faith, healing, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. Okay? So it says here, the first one we'll talk about is the word of wisdom. What is the word of wisdom? It is a knowledge or revelation of the mysteries of the gospel. It is the ability to explain them, an exact understanding of the design, nature, and doctrine of Christ. It is a spiritual revelation or insight into the divine will and purpose, showing how to solve any problem that may arise. That's the word of wisdom. Wow. I mean, through life can have a lot of questions and a lot of problems, can it? Well, through the Holy Ghost, the word of wisdom will come to you to figure out exactly what to do. Amen. A little lady, Sister Hart, one of my Sunday school teachers when I was a little boy, this widow lady, and she had a lot of children. And the Holy Ghost spoke to her in a word of wisdom, told her to get all your babies up into the bed. And she gathered all her children up like a hen would gather its little bitties and got in that bed. And a tornado hit that house. And it ripped the house away. My dad said he went out there to see it, and it's the funniest sight you ever seen. A little piece of floor sitting on some little pillows there, and a bed sitting up in the middle with the cover still on it. And the house gone. Amen? You say, well, Brother David, it looked like God would save his house. I don't know why. I don't understand everything. Listen, maybe she needed a new house. I don't know. Don't care. All I care is that she heard the voice of God, said, get on that bed. Amen. And she got on that bed, and God's hands got over that family, and they, come on. Glory to God. Word of wisdom. We need that word of wisdom. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need these things working in our lives. Too many people's got too many problems in the church world, and they're looking for everywhere else rather than through God for the answers to the problems, the dilemmas that the church is in. The next one is the word of knowledge. Now, we understand Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, he says in different places there in Proverbs. We need wisdom and knowledge. When we get saved, when we begin to fear God, we get some wisdom. Wisdom not to go out there in the world and sin. Amen. Knowledge of how to walk a little bit straighter than what was walking. Amen. But this is a more in-depth thing. It's just a little bit different than what that is. Wisdom is knowing what to do. Knowledge is knowing how to do it. Right? So not only we need the word of wisdom, we need the word of knowledge. We need to not only know what to do, but we need to know how to do it and when to do it. Word of knowledge is a knowledge of mysteries. He said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 13, he says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That's why some churches said that Holy Ghost stuff is foolishness, because they're fleshly. The natural man can't understand it. You ever talk to some people that's real fleshly thinking, and you try to talk to them spiritually? It did not work. Same way, if you get a lot of fleshly people in the church, you're going to have problems in your church. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This book is spiritually discerned. You can read it for face value and know what it says, but the true deep meaning of it, you'll never understand until you, the Holy Ghost. It's a lot of times I've sat down, I've read a scripture, I said, man, what in the world? What does that mean? And you know, I just go to that scripture over in Peter where it says that this word was written down of men of old as they was moved on by the Holy Ghost. And so I said, Holy Ghost, you told them men what to write. Now they wrote it. Now you tell me, explain me what it means. And you know what happens? Oh, that word of knowledge starts coming. A word of wisdom starts coming. Come on now. That's why it's not that we smart. No, we got somebody whispering in our ears, telling us what it means. Come on, it's not that we have all this knowledge and we're just brilliant people when it comes to biblical things. No, we got somebody whispering in my ear. It's easy to preach like that. Okay, I see that. Yeah, I see that. Okay, I see that too. I'm all I am is like that what is it? Trans little guy talking. What do you call him? Ventriloquist, whatever. The guy sitting there, I'm like that little dummy on the knee. And the Holy Ghost is speaking through me. That's all it is. Amen. I hear you, brother. I hear you, sister. Y'all know, I'm telling you the truth. How else would we know these things? How else would some... Look, y'all just don't know my life. You don't know. You don't know like I know. Sister Wanda says she does. Takes one to know one. Amen. Listen, I would rather sit and listen to somebody preach to me that is full of the Holy Ghost and got all these gifts working, that has never been to one Bible college, no schooling whatsoever. Preach to me under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That somebody that has spent years and years and years and years in Bible college. Come on now, wouldn't you? I want something I can feel. I don't want to be tickled. I want to be moved. Amen. So the word of knowledge is a knowledge of mysteries. It is a skill and readiness to give advice and counsel in perplexed cases. It's a supernatural revelation of divine. Now, divine is godly. Divine knowledge, godly knowledge. A supernatural ability to have God knowledge and God insight and have a divine or a God mind and will and plan. Also plans of others that men could not know of himself. I mean, we read in the Bible right here stories all the time. There's no way that them men could do the things and know the things that they knew. There's no way that you could know the things that you know already except the Holy Ghost. I remember when I first got saved, I opened this book. And I brought up in church now. I slept many a night on the church pews. And I opened this book. And I said, I never have been one like to read. I said, oh, my. And y'all thought the same thing, didn't you? I got to learn this. Come on now. All this. I don't know it all. I know about, let me tell you. Kind of like one time we went when Katina Brown was little, and you know how new parents are panicking over her children because they wouldn't eat, you know. So we carried them down to the kid doctor, whatever you call them, pediatrician. And we go in there, and, you know, new parents, and we shake in and said, they're skinny bones, they won't eat, doctor, they won't eat. And he just kind of laughed, you know, because he's probably seen it many times. He reached and he pulled a big old medical Bible, yeah, medical book, about that thick out. And he says, in here, in this book, he said, and he picked up about that many pages, he said, about that much of all that is what we can treat. He said, the rest of it will take care of itself. It's just, in other words, we weren't Christians then, but what he was saying is God has created an awesome body here. I mean, when you eat something that your body knows is not right, what do? You either upchuck it or it flows through real quickly. Amen? It's an awesome body. You know? And so he kind of laughed. I said, well, they won't eat. He said, well, just put it on the table. If they don't want to eat, don't worry about it. Just set it back in the refrigerator. And they'll come after a while and they say, I want to eat. You set it back down there and they won't eat again. Just set it back in the refrigerator. I said, after a while, you'll set it down, they'll eat it. I said, don't give them nothing else now. Don't give them no piece of candy and stuff. They'll eat it. Steve's looking at Katina back there. That's why we need to do our yogurts. They'll eat them vegetables. Huh? You won't have to take up Chicken Donald's. That's what Jacob says, calls Chicken Donald's. Amen. course, Papa can't do that. He has to take him chicken donuts. Amen. To know the things that some men, I mean, my mama and daddy, as far as education level, I went to school further than they did. But they knew the things of God. My mama, you know, there's old farmers and real poor. My mama never learned to read and write. People give a note sometime to her at church, and bless her heart, she'd open it and she'd kind of lean it at me for me to read it to her. It's a lot of people that way, you know? That's all right. She knew God. Amen. I've seen her just laying spick and tongues. Amen. Come on. I've seen the power of God working in her. I'd rather have that than all the education of man in the world. I'd rather know about the things of God. The power of God. She was a good mama. I had a good mama. And I was a good boy. Never was a bad boy. Y'all heard her say that. Amen. I mean, how could Paul accept the word of knowledge, know to tell them men as they was about to jump out of that ship, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. How, without having the word of knowledge, how could he do these things? Amen. I mean, how could Solomon, without the word of wisdom, know what to do in the situation of the woman, these women bringing the two women bringing the child, you know? The one had rolled over on hers and killed it, and she'd switched them out, and the other woman knew it was hers. Y'all know the story. And said, which is the right mama? Solomon used wisdom. And what did he say? Bring me a sword, and I'll cut it half in two and give you one half and you one half. And one woman said, okay, that'll be fine with me. But the other said, no, let her have it. See, Solomon then said, give the child to that woman. That's the mama right there. See, wisdom. Wisdom teaches us. Knowledge. How else could Paul, whenever Ananias came in there and had held back a part of the, you know, money that they had agreed to pay, and Peter would stand there with a word of knowledge and look at him and say, why hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back a part of the money? He didn't know. The Holy Ghost knew and just whispered in his ear and said, why don't you tell him? Why did he keep back part of the money? He was using the gift of the Holy Ghost. Told his wife later, he fell dead of a heart attack because it got revealed his wife did too. Read it, Acts 5th chapter when you get home if you don't know it. The next one is the gift of faith. It is the faith and the divine power and promise. The ability to trust God in any emergency and go the way of duty. Professing the truths of Christ, whatever the difficulty or danger may be. That's faith. No matter what the situation looks like, just go on with God. Amen? That's a gift of faith. Heaven. You know, how many has ever, you know, at certain times and situations arise, and all of a sudden you know, a little bit of fear try to come in, all of a sudden something just kind of stands up in you, and you just feel that confident. That's a gift of faith. That's the Holy Ghost in you that stands up. That's a gift that you picked up. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's saying. That's what Abraham had. The supernatural ability to believe God without human doubt, human unbelief. Amen? That's what Abraham, he, you know, just called things that are not as though they were. Just simply believe God that is able to perform it. Amen? In fact, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1, he says, and we've compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What witnesses? The 11th chapter of Hebrews. It's the Faith Hall of Fame. It's people that just stood and stood on faith. It's a gift of faith. They just seem to have more faith than others. That's supernatural faith. I mean, we all got the measure of faith that we believe God, else we wouldn't be here tonight. But I'm talking about a supernatural faith. That when everything else would seem to go wrong, you still believe in God. You still got a smile on your face and a little skip in your walk. When everything else looks like so, you still believe in God. Paul and Silas in prison. They've been beat, thrown in a dark dungeon, and still singing and praising God. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Next one is gift of healing. The gift of healing is the healing the sick by the laying on the hands, anointing with oil. Amen? Healing or that way, laying on the hands, anointing, or with just a bare word, just a word, like Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee, rise and walk. It's a gift of healing. Peter said that, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give you, rise in the name of Jesus. He didn't go get the oil bottle, lay hands on. No, he just gave him a word. He just gave him a word. He used the gift of healing on that man that day. That's what happened. Like Jesus and others did. The supernatural power to heal all manner of sickness without human aid or medicine. That is the gift of healing. Amen. Thank God for the knowledge he's given man has helped a lot of people. Amen? But what he's talking about here is the gift of healing. A miraculous, instant miracle. I've seen them. You've seen them. We've had them on us. Just like Mark's gospel says for us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He's talking about using the gift of healing on that. Another one is the gift of working of miracles, is the supernatural power to intervene in the ordinary course of nature and to counteract the natural laws if necessary, like raising the dead or opening blinded eyes or restoring limbs, like the man with the withered hand came back. What about the 10 lepers, remember? It says, as they walked, they were cleansed. The leprosy came off, but one came back. And what did he do? He came back and he thanked him. And he says, because you thank me, you'll be restored. In other words, leprosy had maybe eaten off a hand and it grew back. Amen? That's working of miracles. The Bible's full of all these things. I don't have time to go into all of them. I'm just give you a couple of examples. What about the plagues in Egypt? Amen? What about the rod that Aaron had? That he told him, what's in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, what? Cast it down. Trouble is, a lot of times we don't cast it down. Had he never cast it down, it'd never become that serpent. It never worked that miracle in front of Pharaoh had they not cast it down. What about the opening of the Red Sea? Amen? What about the time the sun stood still or it went back at Isaiah 10 degrees there in Hezekiah? What about Jesus and Peter walking on the water? What about Philip? As he was preaching revival, went to the eunuch and then he was seen back in town. He was carried through the air just like my dad was carried through the air. Amen? Working of miracles. These things all work with the Holy Ghost. Amen? You said, brother, I ain't seen a lot of those things. Well, maybe we've not allowed the Holy Ghost to work in our midst, church. What about the gift of prophecy? It is the ability to foretell future events. It's like the book of Daniel, prophetic book, Revelation. I mean, Daniel, look, he was using, when the Holy Ghost would come up on at that time in the Old Testament, just like Samson, the Holy Ghost would come up on him at times. That's what happened with Daniel. He prophesied. He says, the supernatural utterance in native tongue. It is a miracle of divine utterance, godly talking. Not conceived by human thought or reasoning. It includes speaking unto men to edification and exhortation and for comfort. The gift of prophecy. It was a lady, I was at a revival over here in Lassen a few months ago, and Brother Fox was preaching, and it was, he was praying for a few people. A lady, he was kind of walking in the aisle, and a lady come running up to him, and he called me up there, and I was right behind her, so I was able to hear what she said. She said, "The Lord told me that you had a word for me tonight." You know what I'd have told her, don't you? I said, "I already preached it, ma'am." I preached the word. She wanted him to say something to her. Well, now listen, I mean, just think for a minute. If you could hear the Lord tell you that that preacher had a word for you, looked like he could just went ahead and told you what the word was. It's like one time Sister Connie had a pain, sharp pain in her body, and she said, she started praying, and she could hardly move, and she said, "Lord, help me to get to the phone to call David to pray for me." And she got almost to the phone, she went laughing. She said, "Well, if the Lord can hear that prayer, he can hear the prayer to take away this pain." Amen? See, we don't sometimes, you know, the gift of prophecy, knowing future events. I mean, how would you like to know all of your tomorrow? Wow. Prophecy is ahead. How you tell a false prophet? If he prophesies something that don't come to pass, he's false. Pretty simple, isn't it? I remember Brother Walker came up for prayer one time, and he said, "I hadn't seen my boy or heard from him. I ain't he called. I don't know where he's at. Don't have any clue." And it had been like, I don't know, 6 months or a year. It had been a long time. He said, "I'm so worried about it because he's bad with drugs and things." And he said, I just want to hear from him. You know, he's all right. And we prayed for him. We got through praying for him. I looked at him. I said, "Brother Walker, by Tuesday afternoon, you'll see him. Or you'll hear from him," is what I said. "You'll hear from him." He said, "Tuesday morning, he heard something out in his front yard. And he looked out there, and it was his son getting out of his car." Amen? How did I know that? I didn't know that. The Holy Ghost spoke it to him. How often does the Holy Ghost try to speak through us and tell us something, but we're too hard-headed to hear it? Amen. The next one is discerning, the gift of discerning of spirits. It is the power to distinguish between false and true prophets. Boy, the church needs that one, don't they? Just think, all the preachers would be out of job tonight if they could just have that one gift working in them. It's the ability to discern the real and internal qualifications of any person for any office. In other words, the discerning of spirits should be used when we're making a vote on something, right? In other words, if someone is going to fulfill a position, most time people vote personalities rather than using discerning of spirit. Or a lot of times, really in their spirit, is saying, "No, don't vote for them," but they go ahead and vote for them anyhow. It happens that way in an election in church and elections in our government. When a man stands up, it says, "I'm for a woman's choice." In other words, "I'm for abortion." The most pro-life, or pro-life, pro-abortion president we've ever had is in there right now. And a lot of church people voted for him. Did not use discerning of spirits. A lot of preachers conned him into it. Amen. It's the supernatural revelation or insight into the realm of spirits to detect them and their plans and to read the minds of men. You can actually read the minds of men. Watch this. Everybody pick a number in your mind. Keep it small now. Pick a number. You got it? Hold it in your, keep it small for yourself. Good. Now double that number. All right. Let's add two to it. You got it? Now divide it by two. You got it? Now subtract that first number. Does that leave one? I didn't read your mind. That's a trick. Yeah, I've done it on y'all before. Amen. Some of y'all said that wasn't right. I come up with a number. It's because you didn't know how to add a strap. Help us, Lord. Listen, Acts in the 13th chapter, verse 7, it says, Paul said there was a deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, so his name was by interpretation, withstood him, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thy enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. He not only discerns the spirit, but he gives him word of wisdom and knowledge here, working of miracles, all these things. Hand upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. I'm telling you, if we get the gifts of the Holy Ghost working in our lives, in our church services, people will be saved and delivered. Amen. I'm telling you, the church will grow. That's what it's all about. What about in the 16th chapter when the lady was following him around? And what was she saying? These are the men of the Most High God. These are men of the Most High God. You would think it would be good. A lot of preachers would build their head and say, oh boy, she thinks I'm something. But after many days, Paul turned around and rebuked the devil that was in her and cast it out. He discerned that it was a devil, not her. It was a devil mocking them. Cast the devil out of her. Amen. Let's look at the next one. Gifts of diversity kind of tongues. It is the supernatural utterance in other languages which are not known to the speaker. It can be a known as far as man tongue, or it can be an unknown that no man knows it. There's different tongues. Amen. What did he say in Acts in the 2nd chapter in verse number 4? He said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't take them in the upper room and teach them a tongue. It was as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 10 and 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they were of the circumcision which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them what? Speak with tongues and magnify God. Amen. Acts 19 and 2, it says, and Paul said, that's who he's talking about, said unto them over in Ephesus, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. In verse number 6, it says that when Paul had laid his hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. What did all these groups have in common? They spake with tongues. Tongues is the evidence, the initial evidence that the Holy Ghost has moved in. Amen. And churches that said, we don't believe in tongues today, that they're past and they're gone, then, my friend, then you can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because tongues is one of the nine gifts, and we have to have that. It's a package deal. It all comes together. We can't pick and choose what we have and what we don't. You say, well, Brother David, I've never spoken tongues. Then you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's just the way the Bible is. It's plain and simple. If it hits us, it hits us. But it's just plain and simple. Every place we see someone receive the Holy Ghost, they spake with tongues. It is not. A lot of people say, oh, tongues are the devil. Devil don't know how to speak in tongues. Come on. It says, 1 Corinthians, you know, in the church world as a whole, even in the, I heard a fellow on television the other day, and he was saying the Pentecostal movement has misused tongues, and they gone the right. But what he was trying to say was the charismatic movement, not the Pentecostal movement. Of course, now a lot of Pentecostal churches has gone charismatic because they see. In fact, I was in a Pentecostal Holiness Camp meeting back, I don't know, 15 years ago, Lake City. And the guy up there moderating and talking, and he says, back in the 70s, we missed it. The Pentecostal Holiness missed it. Said the Assemblies of God got it, but we missed it. But he's talking about the charismatic movement. And they came out, and the Pentecostal Holiness said, let's quit using that word sanctification. Don't use that word no more. So they said, I had one of the pastors tell me that, Brother Dale. And so what they was wanting to do, they was wanting the numbers that the assemblies have. Like Faith Assembly. All the assemblies are big churches. Mega churches, you know. Because what? They teach them to speak in tongues. Huh? Tongues ain't nothing. The devil ain't scared of tongues. Not especially what they're speaking. Some people even say that tongues are least of the gifts. No, they're all important. They are all for the particular time. And they have their all individual importance. There's times in our lives that we don't know what to pray. And you're in your prayer closet praying. And you get down to pray. And you don't know what in the world is. It's just something that you is just troubling you. And you get in there. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost starts praying for you. And intercedes for you. Amen. How many knows what I'm talking about? See, in the Corinthian church, sometimes, because Paul said that one statement that he said, I'll read it, that I would rather a man speak one word, a man's understanding, than 10,000 words in tongues. And so they say, well, tongues ain't for today. No. They skip over a scripture where Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Paul was not belittling tongues at all. He said in 1 Corinthians, but the Corinthian church was abusing, just like Pentecostals abuse, you know, some of the services where, you know, when they jumping and shouting and jumping in walls and doing all kind of crazy things. And, you know, I've been in some of them churches, haven't you? Fleshly Holy Ghost is what it is, spiritual. Come on. Got to know the difference. I even heard, said, I ain't never been in a service like this. Said, people's up there howling like dogs. Woo! Ooh, I call it spirit. Dad, come on now. People laughing at it. You know what I mean? I've heard of groaning in the spirit, and sometimes you groan in the spirit, but not howling like a dog. Use discerning of the spirit. But Corinthian church was a fleshly church, a worldly church. And Paul is addressing. In the 14th chapter, he says in verse number 1, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts? But rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto, not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edify himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues. I would that ye all spake with tongues. I would that ye all spake with tongues. But rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues. Paul said, I want all you speaking with tongues, but I want you all, I really want you prophesying for sure. He said, For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. See, they leave out these little scriptures, little words up there. They say, well, prophecy is bigger than tongues. No, 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 except he interpret. See, that was abusing tongues. That the church may receive edifying. Verse number 18, it says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. So he's not belittling it at all. He said, we got to use things in the right ways. They're tools. If you misuse tools, if you misuse your saw by beating the nail with it when you want to cut a board, it won't work right. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, except it be interpreted. Brethren, be not children understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So if people come in and not believe not at all, then they never hear tongues. How can they believe? And then if it's not interpreted, what can they understand? So it says, but prophesy and serve it not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. If therefore the whole church come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they're mad? But if all prophesy and there come one in that believeth not or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest. And so falling down, that's what when you're preaching, you're prophesying to them of their future. And so they repent, they get convicted and repent, fall down on their face and will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, and at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. In other words, he's saying, Paul is letting them understand how messages are given out in church. If messages are given out in tongues, that it's going to come by the course of one or two and no more than three. You'll never have a service where there's more than three messages given out in tongues and interpreted in one service. Amen. It's Bible. Right there. I've never been in one. Never in my life have I been in one. I've been in one where there have been three messages given out and three interpretations. I have never been in a service where any more than that was given out. He says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three and let others judge. In other words, when someone's word of prophecy, you have much prophecy at a service, you know, right on. But it said, let us judge. Is that really true or not? Don't be taken in by everything it said. You know, it's just like some preacher come through and every person they pray for, they got a word of prophecy for them. You judge that. Don't go in hook, line, and sinker on things. You judge. Right? If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Amen. So you understand the diverse kinds of tongues. It's when message is given out, or you're in your prayer closet, or listen, tongues in a service, like when a preacher's preaching and somebody just sitting there just praising the Lord and speaking out real loud in tongues, is out of order. Amen? You're out of order. You're disrupting. Okay? But now if we're around the altar and everybody's praising God and you're down here praying and you hear that over there speaking in tongues and it's over here speaking in tongues, that's fine. That's well and good. You're not disrupting. Everybody is praising God. You're fine then. But when a preacher's trying to, prophesy and preach up here, and someone is just hollering out in tongues and tongues and tongues and just it's praise. I was in a service one time, and a lady kept on, and I knew it wasn't a tongues to be interpreted. You know the difference. When it's tongues to be interpreted, you'd be preaching. Sometimes I've actually got the interpretation of a message that's going to be given out, and before the message even comes. And I know it's coming, and then all of a sudden it'll get to a point, everything freezes. The babies quit crying. And it's dead silence in the church. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, people can be praising the Lord, amen, praise the Lord, and all of a sudden, boom, it comes. Tongues. And then, boom, the interpretation. Amen? It's awesome, isn't it? Awesome in a camp meeting with thousands of people and how that, in a big auditorium that, they haven't used microphones and all. And you hear somebody way over there on the other side stand up and boy, just all of a sudden it's just dead silent. Whew, just that quick. And boom. And it echoes. Boy, it's like got a microphone. No, man, cold chills is all over you. And then boom, on this other side over here, somebody's got the interpretation, or maybe the preacher or whoever. It's amazing, isn't it?
Of course, you know that ain't for today.
I'll take that back. I'm just jesting. Thank God. Thank God he's still here. The gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, it's not a translation. It's an interpretation. What do you mean by that? It means like, let me go check on that one. Sound like they was running to hit the door. A translation is word by word, exchange into our language, okay? That's a translation. Interpretation is, you might hear tongues come for, 10 seconds, and then you hear the interpretation go for 20 seconds or 30 seconds or vice versa. You might hear tongues that go for 30 seconds and the interpretation be for 10 seconds. And then people, that couldn't have been the same thing because the time was different. It's the interpretation of it. Just interpret what they said. It's not a word for word thing. It's interpretation. That's what it says here. It's not a literal translation. It is the supernatural ability to interpret. You say, well, brother, when a message is given out in tongues, do you know all the things they're saying when they say it? No, listen. If you've ever used the gift of interpretation, you usually get one word. That's all you get. How many words can you speak at a time? You mean you got to say that word and then nothing to come, yeah? It's like Peter had to step out in that water, didn't he? He had to step out with one foot before he could get that other one out there. How many has ever heard of the revival on Azusa Street? You know how that got started? There was a little black girl about 12 years old, gave out a message in tongues. And there was a man, a Jew, came and got saved. And what happened was that little 12-year-old girl spoke fluent, I think is the way you say it, Hebrew. That Jew knew Hebrew, and she spoke in Hebrew to him. 12 years old. Had to be God. I've been in a service before when tongues was given out, and we hadn't been saved too long, tongues was given out in a message. And it wasn't interpreted. And after service, God testified. And he says, when they was giving out that message in tongues, all y'all could hear was tongues, but I could hear it speaking to me. It was for me. God was speaking directly to him, and he could understand it. It was for him. Amen. Not to deliver it out, but God was talking to him. Supernatural ability to interpret in the native tongue what is the utterance in other tongue. And it's not known by the one who is interpreted. It is of the Spirit. Amen? It's the Holy Ghost. These things are awesome to me. I don't know about you. 1 Corinthians 12 and 11. It says, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. Verse number 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Then he asks questions, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Let me answer that for you. Yes. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the one that preaches. He's the one that teaches. He's the one that gives out messages. He's the one that interprets it. He's the one that works the gift of healing. He's the administrator of the new covenant. Amen. He's here to work through me and you. And we have to, this is who he is. This is what he is. He says, but covet earnestly the best gift. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What's the best gift? The one that'll get the job done right then. That's the best gift. Amen? Amen. All right. Come on, stand with us. Father, we